ebook publishers and marketing services company Just Imagine It, Inc. presents Get Behind Me, Now Stay There, a new fun-filled, informative podcast available on iTunes and right here locally on KSKQ Ashland, Oregon, 89.5 FM. Art and entertainment news and views. Today's podcast is brought to you by the fine folks at Downpour.com, the one stop for all your audio and digital book needs. Join the Downpour Audiobook Club and save up to 50% on digital downloads, exclusive member-only deals and promotions with no commitment, and you can cancel at any time. Only $14.99 per month, that's Downpour.com. On this episode, Josie Milner keeps it real in Missouri while raising awareness for the anti-bullying organization Angels and Doves. We get a little wild with Canadian country star Amy Rose and a best-selling audiobook by one of America's most beloved authors, right after the news you want to know. And as long as I got my suit and tie, I'm gonna leave it all on the floor tonight. And you got fixed up to the nines. Let me show you a good thing. All dressed up in black and white, and you're dressed in that dress I like. Love is swinging in the air tonight. Let me show you a good thing. Let me show you a good thing. Show you a good thing. So it's our love. Now we're in the swing of love.
Hello, I'm Charlie Stanton.
I'm Maya Seligman.
I'm Sarah Simerson.
I'm Jerry Renfro.
I'm Chrissy McIntyre. And here's your art and entertainment news that you want to know.
I heard that Metallica has a new album thing going on. Isn't that right, Chrissy?
Well, they have enough songs for a new album, but they have been focusing on this movie that they actually haven't had a chance to, like, record the album. So they've got the music, they know what they want to do, but they've been so busy doing this movie that the album has been kind of put on hold. Now, the movie, you'll be very interested to learn, is an IMAX 3D Metallica movie.
Like, they aren't scary enough already.
Right.
Normal 2D.
It's like a concert movie, so like all the head moshing is like right in your face. So it looks like they're going to smack your skull with their heads. And
I watched the trailer.
And it's basically like it's a concert film, but then there's also this sort of narrative that goes through it. So there's a fictional story of one of their crew guys and who's out on a mission for the band, you know, like they're on a mission from God, like the Blues Brothers.
Does it involve a bong?
Yeah. But I mean, when you watch it, I mean, this kid, he gets into this car crash, his van is flipped over, he's being chased by like a bunch of people. There's this like scary guy on a horse, like trying to run him down. And I was just oh my God. I'm like, I hope this guy has got good workers comp from Metallica. That's your life as a roadie for the band. It's pretty bad. Like, you might need some therapy. So the movie's coming out pretty soon. It's going to be in like a national release in IMAX theaters. So not only is it like, you know, this big heavy metal experience, like crazy, lots of lights and everything. It's on those IMAX screens that are enormous. You know, have you ever been to one of those movies? They're like, it's like two stories high. So
yeah. Wow.
So if you really like Metallica, if you like Metallica, you'll love Metallica's 3D movie.
I'm sure, but
you should do the commercial for it.
I still don't accept this excuse that they haven't had a chance, you know, to record the album, because there are 24 hours in a day. I'll bet they're wasting like 8 hours a night sleeping, and how many hours do they waste with their families? I mean, come on. I want my album.
Come on, guys. Do it, you know? It's called Metallica Through the Never. So it opens September 27th on every IMAX screen in North America.
Through the Never, huh? That's a good title.
I like that.
That's a good title. It's almost like an intergalactic kind of title.
Yeah.
You know, it is almost like something from outer space, isn't it?
Speaking of outer space, I don't know if you guys heard. This is pretty amazing. But Richard Branson, his company is...
Sir Richard Branson,
is getting ready to put together their spaceship, essentially. And they auctioned off...
Virgin Galactic.
I love that name, Virgin Galactic. I've used that line so many times.
Oh, sorry. So they're almost done building Spaceship right. 2, which is the successor to Spaceship 1, which won the $10 million Ansari X Prize for being the first ship to basically get outside of the Earth. And so they are selling tickets. Well, not selling tickets. You can't go down to Ticketmaster and pick one up. But they auctioned off.
I'm going
to
go on Orbitz.
Yeah, you're going on Orbitz. Oh, nice.
Oh, that was great.
Best use of a pun today. Excellent.
Yeah.
There was a charity auction at the Cannes Film Festival, and they were auctioning off a ticket on the Spaceship 2 next to a celebrity. And they wouldn't tell anybody who the mystery celebrity was. The ticket sold for 1.5 2 million euros, which is about 1.5 million American.
So who's sitting next to me, Jerry?
The guy sitting next to you would be Leonardo DiCaprio.
Oh, yeah. I love Leonardo DiCaprio.
I would not mind sitting next to him on a space flight. That would be a lot of fun. Yeah. That ship, anybody who's a fan of cinema, had better hope that ship does not go down. Because it's rumored that Ashton Kutcher, Angelina Jolie, and a number of other famous celebrities are all going to be on that plane. Yes, we would be devastated losing you, Charlie. So please keep that plane safe.
Okay.
For all of us. So it's
well, you know, Leo's going to fly it because, you know, he played Howard Hughes in
that's right. He's the aviator.
Yeah,
exactly.
So he's the aviator after all. Come on.
Yeah, the auction was actually kind of run by Harvey Weinstein, and he had a few jokes that I think everybody was hoping he would be on that flight, but that it would be a one-way flight, but that was not the case. So congratulations to whatever lucky man or woman gets to sit next to Leonardo DiCaprio in space.
That's Chrissy McIntyre, I think, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm going.
You have some good stories for us.
Another astronaut, Will Smith.
There's a guy who knows his way around space.
Yeah,
a couple times, right?
Yeah,
him and his son, Jaden, they just made an appearance on the UK's Graham Norton show.
I love that show.
I do, too.
It's funny. Him and his son, they were promoting their new movie, After Earth, you know, which I guess they're from outer space and, you know, they land on this planet. There's just a bunch of animals and stuff. They got to fight for survival. Should be a good one. On the Graham Norton show, the two of them performed together, which was just a lot of entertainment for everybody watching. Graham asked if they ever played music together, and the two grabbed microphones and began to rap before Will introduced a surprise guest, DJ Jazzy Jeff, who we all remember from, you know, when he first started off. They were a great team.
In West Philadelphia.
Exactly. The studio audience erupted into cheers as the three performed Will's hit song, Switch. And, you know, the guests there, everybody's Bradley Cooper and Heather Graham clapped from the couch. But that was just the beginning of the fun.
It gets better?
It gets better. It gets a lot better than that. I know. But wait. Yeah, they brought in Alfonso Ribeiro.
Get out of town, man.
Yeah,
Carlton?
Carlton, that's right. Carlton Banks. And he led them all on
that,
the...
You know what that is, Cyrus? You know what that is?
What is that?
One more little surprise just for you. Alfonso Ribeiro!
Yeah, so, you know, they all got down on the Graham Norton show.
Whoa,
you know,
they did the Carlton dance?
They did the Carlton dance. It was unbelievable.
Well, but that studio audience is one of the, next to the Oprah audience that all got cars. You know, you think you're going to see, you know, a press junket for After Earth. Like, hey, it's Will Smith and his kid. Yay, After Earth. Wait, DJ Jazzy Jeff is here and they're performing? Oh, that's even better. Now they're doing the Carlton? Head exploded. There we go.
With Carlton, man.
I can die.
You know what? That's so infectious, the Carlton dance. You know, that's because it's like you see that. I mean, I remember, you know, seeing it on the TV show when it first happened. And it was so successful when it happened that they kept bringing it back into storylines.
Yep.
And but now, I mean, it's just like blown up all over the place. I mean, you know. You know, oh, you know, that would be great to play the Carlton dance on the Virgin Galactic.
Finding ways to sneak it in anywhere.
Unusual to go out.
Well, can you flirt on the Virgin Atlantic? Are you allowed to flirt on the Galactic?
You know what? You should be.
Well, remember that one airline that we talked about?
That was the Virgin.
That was Virgin. Yeah.
Virgin Atlantic, yeah.
You could join the Million Mile High Club.
Million Mile High Club. Awesome.
Just like the Kinsman saga, yeah. By Ben Bova. But yeah, Will Smith's whole family is really talented. His daughter, too, was a singer. She's a singer. She's like 10 years old. She was in New York when they dropped the ball performing.
The New Year's Ball,
yeah.
Oh.
Well, I wonder if they would let you take your Google glasses on a flight like that. I found out something interesting. Porn directors recently announced their plans to use Google Glass for their X-rated films to explore the full potential of the technology.
I'm buying one.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I just
my glasses are steamed up just thinking about it.
And for those of you listeners who don't know, Google Glass is the wearable device that acts as an extension of your smartphone, and it performs a set of simple tasks like shooting and watching pictures or video. So it resembles a pair of glasses, and it now costs about $1,500. And they're currently on limited release to 2,000 people, but they're going to be more widely available later this year. So porn directors have taken this, and it's actually going to be likely to be another embarrassing kind of revelation for Google, because they've already faced somewhat of a backlash over this technology. Like cafe owners and cinemas and strip clubs in the United States have already announced that they're banning the technology from their establishments out of respect for the customer's privacy.
You know, I didn't even think about that, but you know, with the Google glasses, you could go see a movie and just
record it right there. And you know, it's not like they see you holding up a camera or something. I mean, it's literally point of view. You know, what you're looking at is recording.
Yeah, point of view. Speaking of point of view, that's actually a term for a type of porn. And
I did not know that.
Yeah.
Wow.
Oh, gosh. Oh, golly. Where did that come from?
Yeah. So, like, not only...
So, what's your point of view, Maya?
My point of view? Well, I won't tell you. No, well, like, not only are amateurs really keen on the idea of using these gadgets to shoot high-quality home movies, but reps from the adult film industry have said that they're interested in using them, too. Because it would allow them to operate in like a truly hands-free kind of fashion.
Very true.
Opposing to holding the camera. And it records...
Oh, holding the camera. Oh, okay.
It records angles on action that wouldn't otherwise be feasible. You know?
Okay.
So they call this type of entertainment POV, point of view.
Mm-hmm. Oh, there you go.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. Yeah, they record angles that you probably don't want to see. Actually.
Some people do.
Angles that
apparently some people
glad
do.
The camera
yeah.
can't forget because.
Well, yeah. You know, I'll tell you this. If that does happen, if they start doing it that way, if there's ever a competitor to the Google Glass, it won't last. Because whatever technology the porn industry adopts wins.
Yeah.
When it was VHS versus Betamax, porn chose VHS. Guess which one won? Blu-ray
right.
versus HD DVD? Porn chooses Blu-ray. No more HD DVD. So. Huh.
Well, there's already...
Well, Jerry, sounds like you're quite an authority on the porn industry.
No, the media.
Or maybe that's just your POV.
That's just my POV, what should I say?
Yeah. Well, just a side note, the Android adult app store, McCandy, they produce like hundreds of NSFW, I hadn't heard that, not safe for work,
yeah.
adult apps, you know. Their company rep said that Google Glass porn has been making its rounds, and their studio rep said, quote, "I wanted to let you know that we are picking up our glass, and yep, we are making content for it." So it's confirmed. It's happening.
Oh, my God.
So they've got, what did you say, about 2,000 people currently have access to them? It's kind of in it's like a beta test thing?
Yeah.
Based on everything I've heard, I think it's going to be a huge success.
Yes, it's going to be successful in the porn industry or in any industry because sex sells. You know what? And I think the people that are in the entertainment industry, we all know is that, you know, there's surefire way to get people interested in your product is to bring on a female.
That's true.
Isn't that right, Chrissy?
Yes, that's absolutely true. And Two and a Half Men, after 10 years, I finally understood this.
it took them a little while.
Two and a Half Men, which is a very long-running show on CBS, has just added or is adding a female cast regular to their show. As you know, a little while ago, or as you may know, the kid, the half man, on the show, who's an actor named Angus Jones, left. He left the show. He had, I think he became a born again Christian and was like, don't, and he went on a video on YouTube, like, don't watch the show. It's trash. It's terrible.
Oh, that was controversial.
Yeah. Trashing the show you're on generally doesn't get you asked back.
Yeah, it's kind of an issue, but he's apologized and they've talked about it and
they decided they're over it.
Yeah, he's left the show, but the thing is he's going to college, his character's going to college, so there's some opportunities for him to come back and make some cameo appearances. But in the meantime, they've added a woman to the cast, and she is going to be the daughter of Charlie Harper, who was played by Charlie Sheen until he was ousted from the series in 2011. His character was killed off in the season 9 premiere. And such a soap opera, right? Like, he was decapitated in a crazy accident. Now he's got this new... And that season 9 premiere also introduced the new cast member, Ashton Kutcher, as an internet billionaire, Walden Schmidt.
Right, who took over the house and for some reason, inexplicable reason, decided to let Charlie's brother keep living there.
Yeah. This is another show that I've never watched. Like, I've never watched this show. But anyway, so if the plans go through, the character of Harper's daughter will move into the house with Schmidt and Charlie's brother, Alan Harper, who's played by John Cryer.
John Cryer.
So it's kind of a weird dynamic. I mean, if you think about it, like if you're some kid, and I guess I don't know how old this person is supposed to be, but so you just like move into this house with your uncle and like some random guy. Like it's just so weird. Like, I don't know. Like, I think, you know, social services might have something to say.
Yeah. Right. Is it an adult daughter? Is she 10? I mean, that will kind of change.
You know, I have seen 2 and a Half Men, you know, and I'm sure they're going to, you know, she's going to be like a. Someone like Miley Cyrus's age, you know, like, yeah, you know, like, 20, 21, something like that, you know.
I wonder if they'll change the title finally. I mean, it's interesting that the show, considering that, you know, it's lost its half a man and the main guy who was pretty much your big draw is now gone, yet it's still on the air. It's still drawing viewers. I'm wondering if it's going to be kind of like a more, John it's going to morph into something else. Yeah, exactly. So it's obviously still popular and people still like it. I mean,
it's the number 2 show on CBS.
That's amazing.
It used to be number 1. I didn't think that it would last, you know, after Sheen left because it just, you know, it's not the same makeup, but.
Right.
But I have tried to watch the new show, and it's right up there with The Big Bang Theory. I just don't get it. Why? It's not even funny.
See, I did watch the first few seasons, and I thought it was very funny. And then it kind of started to fade out. And then when the whole Charlie Sheen winning thing went down, I thought, well, I'll watch. I watched the first episode or two, and I just felt like, you know, like you were saying, the chemistry was completely different, and I just didn't think that it would have much staying power, but somehow they managed to survive another season. You know, some things can just go on forever.
You know what, the thing that's really kind of curious about 2 and a Half Men not having a female cast member on there is that there never was a female lead on it before. They had different girlfriends coming in and out of the series and things like that, but there was never a female cast member, you know, other than the housekeeper. But Charlie Sheen is probably one of the most notorious womanizers on the face of the planet.
That's true. Yeah, over the course of the show, I mean, I'll bet you if you went back and look, he probably had 40 or 50 girlfriends over the course of the show. And then he had the crazy stalker girl, you know, who followed him for a while in the first, like, 2 seasons or whatever. So there's plenty, I think, of opportunity to have him have a daughter out there that he didn't know about. I mean, his character on the show was very much like Charlie Sheen himself.
There could be a whole season of trying to figure out who the mother is.
Right.
Yeah, there you go.
You could probably introduce a new unknown daughter every season, considering what a man whore he was on the show. Yeah, exactly. Well, that's why I was saying it's funny how some things can continue going on and on and on and last for a very long time, because one of my favorite actors is turning 91 soon, Christopher Lee. And if you don't know...
I didn't know he was that old. You know,
I know. I was surprised about that too. But I have a story for you. I'll tell you in a minute that you'll realize how old he is. So Christopher Lee is turning 91. For those of you who aren't nerds like me, Christopher Lee played Saruman in the Lord of the Rings trilogies.
Oh, that Christopher Lee.
Yes, that Christopher Lee. He was also a little guy named Count Dooku in the Star Wars prequels, 1, 2, and 3.
Oh, wow.
He's done a lot of things, but those are the two that most, you know.
He was in The Hobbit. He was in Hugo. The Hobbit,
yes, he was. And Hugo, yes. He's done a lot of stuff. But for his 91st birthday, he has decided to release a heavy metal album. What? I mean, it makes perfect sense, right? Right?
That's what I was expecting.
A 91-year-old actor, why not put out a heavy metal album?
Johnny Depp on it?
I would love that. That would be pretty awesome. They probably know each other. So he's putting out a heavy metal album based on the life of French ruler Charlemagne. I couldn't make this up. I'm not kidding you. So it was recorded with Judas Priest guitarist.
Whoa.
Yeah, Richie Faulkner. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's called Charlemagne, The Omens of Death. And it's a follow-up to his 2010 release, Charlemagne by the Sword and the Cross. So obviously he has some sort of obsession with Charlemagne. So in the Lord of the Rings, have you guys all seen the Lord of the Rings movies?
Yes. Yep.
Maya.
Oh, no. I
am
haven't.
So disappointed.
I know. It's on my list of things to do.
Jerry, you can talk to straight to me. I know. Okay.
All right. So he plays Saruman.
I haven't seen it either.
Now, the interesting thing about it is.
It's on my bucket list.
Christopher Lee was actually very good friends with Tolkien. They knew each other for a long time. And Tolkien was planning on making the Lord of the Rings movies back in the 70s, which thank God they didn't, because look at the technological advances we've had since the 1970s. But Tolkien promised Lee that he would play Gandalf. And then, you know, of course, it never got made. Tolkien passed away. 20-some-odd years go by, and they're remaking the movies. And the studio, you know, wanted, of course, Sir Ian McKellen to be Gandalf. But Christopher Lee was still involved in the project and was cast as Saruman.
Well, he is very good at Saruman.
He was great at it. Absolutely.
If you haven't, you really should. You know what? It's one of those movies I would have never gone to see Lord of the Rings, except my husband is, like, crazy for it. So we had to go to, you know, all the premieres, the whole thing. Not the premiere, like the, you know, we went when it came out in the theaters. And I can't believe how much I loved it. I was really surprised at how much I really enjoyed these movies. Well, they're really good.
Yeah, I think they're great. I've enjoyed The Hobbit, too. I'm really looking forward to this album. I'm a fan of heavy metal. I'm a fan of Christopher Lee. I'm a fan of Richie Faulkner. I mean, I just don't see anything about this that is not going to be.
But do you like Charlemagne? Because that's the kicker.
Yes, I do. Actually, I like history. And I thought Charlemagne did some good things, you know. I'm not going to hold it against him. So I'm really looking forward to it. I think it's going to be.
I like the Kid Charlemagne album.
The what?
Kid Charlemagne album.
Kid Charlemagne album. There's a comedian who goes by that name too. Yeah, Lil Charlemagne, I think, is his name. So
there's a lot of different names out there, you know.
There are a lot of different names out there. And speaking of that, Charlie Sheen has changed his name back to Carlos Estevez.
Woo!
Yeah, imagine that. For the credits in his upcoming movie Machete Kills, Sheen, who was given a name Carlos Estevez at birth, famously changed his name to Charlie when he was a child, to avoid any confusion with his uncle, who is also called Carlos.
Oh, I didn't know that. That's kind of cool.
Yeah, neither did I. I always thought...
I guess it wasn't that famous then.
Well, yeah, huh? And then Charlie's father, you know, everyone knows, Martin Sheen, was also, in fact, born Ramon Antonio Gerardo Estevez, but took the stage name Sheen when he began his acting career. He did not legally change his name, and his four children all received the surname Estevez, including Emilio Estevez, who still keeps that name. And I always thought that Emilio just had, like, a different father or something, because I knew they were brothers. I figured maybe they're half-brothers.
You know what? I thought the same thing, too. I always thought, like, because they don't look identical to each other either.
Right.
No,
yeah,
they don't look at all alike.
Yeah,
maybe they had different...
names. It's just Charlie... followed his father and changed his surname when his career kicked off and became Charlie Sheen. So that was what happened. You know, first he changed his first name, and then later on he changed his last name. So he had a completely different name through all this, you know, all the movies he's made, Two and a Half Men, everything. So, you know, but now he's going to go back to Carlos Estevez for Machete Kills, which is directed by Robert Rodriguez.
Yep.
So, you know, it's kind of like, you know, maybe the Estevez goes along with Machete Kills, could have a Hispanic feel to it. So maybe that's
why. Well, yeah, it's all shot in Mexico, and it's a sequel to another film.
Well, yeah, and it stars Danny Trejo, you know, and there's a lot of other, you know, I just hope.
There's a lot of the Mexican people in there, like right, exactly. Lady Gaga. Jude Goody Jr.
Yeah.
Mel Gibson.
But it does also have Sofia Vergara, Danny Trejo. So there are Robert Rodriguez. There are Latino surnames attached to the project. I just hope it doesn't appear.
And Carlos Estevez.
And Carlos Estevez now. Yeah. I hope it doesn't appear like he's pandering. You know, I mean, I just, if he does it for the one movie, you know, that goes back.
What I've seen with Charlie Sheen is this. It doesn't matter what he does.
True.
He just seems to have an audience.
Yep. You know,
because,
yeah.
Because
he creates
the
headline.
Blood.
Yeah. It is a tiger blood. But you know what, Chrissy? I watched, we did a story, of course, about his new show, Anger Management, on FX. And I never, you know, got to watch it because I always missed it. Mm-hmm. And I was telling my daughter, Amy, I was like, yeah, I want to watch Anger Management. And she goes, why don't you just watch it on demand? And I'm like, oh, yeah, I forgot. You can do that. So I watched like about four or five of those shows. And his dad, Martin Sheen, plays his dad on the show. And the show is hysterical.
That's good. You mean Martin Sheen? You mean Ramon Antonio Geraldo Estevez?
Of easy for you to say.
Ramon.
Thank you, Chrissy Estevez.
I was wondering if he was changing it to Carlos. When you were saying it's pandering, I read it as like, maybe he's trying to like drop Charlie Sheen and just kind of like do something, and maybe people won't know it's him in the movie. I don't know.
No, you know what? I think it's entirely for the movie. You know,
I think so too.
All this future project could be Charlie Sheen. This is a Mexican movie. It's filmed in Mexico. He plays the president of the United States.
Ugh.
Who is a Latino Carlos Estevez?
Right. I think that's what it is.
Yeah.
Well, he created a headline. I mean, we're all talking about this movie that hasn't come out yet.
That's true.
Absolutely. That's one thing. You sign Charlie Sheen to a project, you're going to get headlines one Winning. Way or another.
Winning. Yeah. Well, speaking of families and headlines, the Osbournes have been under the limelight lately. Ozzy Osbourne recently acknowledged that he had been drinking and taking drugs during the last year and a half. I went to his Facebook page and I looked back in April, a Facebook post that's gotten more than 240,000 likes and has stirred up some interesting reflections, because I read his statement and it says, "I was in a very dark place and was an asshole to the people I love most, my family. However, I'm happy to say that I'm now 44 days sober." Because he was acknowledging
44 days in a row?
Yeah. And that was back in April.
I think that's for his lifetime.
Oh, yeah, right.
44 days.
It's a new record.
Yeah.
He also confirmed that he and his wife, Sharon, are staying together, because there are some rumors that it would split them apart. In an interview, she said, "We've dealt with worse, and this too shall pass. Otherwise, my husband will be taken to the hospital to get my foot removed from his..." That was really funny. Yeah. I mean,
she has stuck by him through some pretty crazy stuff. So.
It's true. And so has their daughter, Kelly.
Yeah.
And she recently shared her feelings about the situation. She says, "I love and respect that he's honest enough to say, yes, I did this. It was my fault. He's a real man. Most people would hide, and he doesn't. It doesn't make me love him any less." And she actually, Kelly herself, has acknowledged that her dad isn't alone, because she's a recovering addict herself.
Yep.
Yeah. "It's going to be one of those things we battle for the rest of our lives," she said. "I'd take the necessary precautions. If you're not happy and healthy, it's not worth any of it. Everyone says sex, drugs, and rock and roll are fun. It ain't fun. It's not something to glorify."
So, very true.
Yeah.
Very true.
And Ozzy Osbourne, they're releasing a new album. It's called 13, him and Black, you know.
It's Black Sabbath,
yeah,
right?
Right.
Black Sabbath, yeah.
Exactly.
Looking forward to that.
And I think that's the first time he's been back with Black Sabbath since, what,
1978. There was the Never Say Die, and that was the... That was the last one when he was on vocals.
Yep, that was right when they split and he and Sharon got together and he went off and became Ozzy Osbourne. Because before that, he was just the lead singer of Black Sabbath.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's amazing. So they're releasing an album together, huh?
Yeah, and they're also hitting the road for a North American tour next month.
Wow.
So maybe go check them out.
Yeah, may have to give old Ticketmaster a call. Big fan of Ozzy. I'm really proud of him that he, you know, was able to... And, you know, fess up to it and face it, you know, because a lot of times with addicts, you know, and they fall down the hole and then they figure, well, I may as well just stay here then. But good for him. I was glad to see Sharon, you know, going to stand by him. And
you know, Kelly, too, yeah.
Yeah, and his daughter. You know, like I said, Ozzy's been, I mean, she stood by him through a lot worse. I mean, this is a guy who accidentally bit the head off a bat on stage, was banned from Texas for 10 years for taking a leak on the Alamo. And, you know, she stood by him through all that. So yeah.
You know what's an interesting story about Ozzy and Sharon?
What's that?
I don't know if you guys know this or not, but when Ozzy Osbourne, when he was in Black Sabbath, and he got kicked out of Black Sabbath.
Right. We were just talking about that, yeah.
Yeah. The manager for Black Sabbath, right, his daughter was Sharon Osbourne.
Yep.
And that's how she met him.
That's how they met.
Because Ozzy was so out of it, drunk, loaded, and stuff like that.
Oh, he was so gone,
but he was in some hotel room in L.A., and he owed the record management people massive amounts of money because he wouldn't pay them. He was just so out of it, right? And yep. He sent his daughter to get him to pay up.
The manager, yes, sent Sharon get the money from Ozzy.
To get the money from Ozzy. Mm-hmm. And so he's like, nah, I'm not giving you the money, and I'm taking your daughter as well.
Yeah. You know, I've read several interviews with Sharon, you know, and she basically said, you know, that everybody looked at him and saw, you know, he's got talent, but he's just such a worthless drunk addict, whatever. And, you know, she said she really saw something special in him. And so they ended up leaving her dad's manager. She basically, you know, took her dad's best client and turned him into Ozzy Osbourne. If it wasn't for Sharon's help, you know, he probably would have been dead a long time ago.
Wow.
Yeah. Because he was in a bad place.
He's quite a fascinating character. You know, the thing about him biting the head off of Dove?
Yeah.
You know,
I thought it was a bat.
No, he did.
It was a dove?
It was a dove, and he did it on purpose. It wasn't an accident. He said he went into a recording studio, and he was so loaded, and he was so mad at them. He was supposed to have a meeting with them. They were walking down the hall. He had these doves on his shoulder because he thought it would be cool to walk in with these doves.
Okay.
And when he walked in and he got so mad that he just took one and he bit its head off. He goes, I didn't think I was going to actually do that. He goes, it was a spur of the moment thing. And that's the only thing anybody remembers now.
Right. Well, there's two because they're the head of a bat.
But that wasn't the first time he did that. Wasn't,
no, yeah, it was the first thing he bit the head off because the bat hat story happened. Somebody threw it on stage. He thought it was a rubber, like one of those rubber bats, and he picked it up and bit it.
Well, who wouldn't make that mistake?
Who wouldn't make that assumption, right? Right. And he's told stories, too, about how terrified he was. He had to go get rabies shots and all of these things.
Well, you know what, Jerry? The bottom line is that Ozzy Osbourne is a really flamboyant artist, but he is not the original flamboyant artist, is he, Chrissy?
No. He is not.
Who could possibly be more flamboyant?
Well, have you ever heard of a little someone named Liberace?
Uh-huh.
A little bit of flamboyance there on stage. I don't know if you've heard of this movie, but HBO has released a story of Liberace called Behind the Candelabra. Mm-hmm.
Heard of it.
You have heard of it? Have you watched it?
I'll tell you about it in a little bit.
Okay. It is blowing up on HBO. It's blowing up. It's blowing up your television. No, it's doing incredibly well on HBO. It opened and... it was watched by 2.4 million viewers on its like opening night on HBO. So clear. I mean, this is a channel where you can watch it at any time and it's on demand. They like watched it, made sure they were there to watch it. And it's directed by Steven Soderbergh and it stars Michael Douglas as Liberace and Matt Damon as his much younger lover and onstage driver. He was taken in by Liberace and he was just became part of like his onstage act and he drove him on stage and he was like his lover behind stage and he was for 6 years they were together. And it also stars Dan Aykroyd, Scott Bakula, and Rob Lowe. It's a 2-hour biopic and it's going to come out. It was actually Soderbergh was trying to get this released in theaters. And apparently it was rejected by every studio. They thought it was too gay and would only attract a gay crowd. Mm. But obviously they were wrong. I mean, people are just going crazy over this movie. And it's actually going to come out as a theatrical release in the UK next month.
Oh,
so.
Right.
You know what? Let me tell you something about this movie, Behind the Camera Opera. I did not want to watch it simply for the fact because it was going to be too gay. You know? I mean, you know.
Open your heart, Charlie. Open your mind.
To do with that. I'm just like, you know what? I don't want to. I didn't like Liberace when he came out, you know?
Right.
I mean, he's a good pianist and stuff like that, you know? So I'm like, you know, I don't really, you know, it doesn't really hold my interest. I mean, it's not my cup of tea, you know? So I could see where the movie theaters might pass it up and say like, you know, even though it has big name stars in it, we don't think we'd get that, you know, much back on our return, on our investment, right?
Right.
So, but I saw it. The movie was on HBO, and it was on at my house, and I was doing something else, and I kind of looked over, and I saw it, and I tell you what, man, that movie just sucked me in.
Really?
It's yeah. Good.
Because, you know, the acting in it is so great. I mean, the storyline is very predictable because it's, you know, the same old classic story of, you know, guy makes it big, another guy comes on, has a hanger on, they become lovers. You know, he gets hooked on drugs, he gets kicked to the curb, and then, you know, that's the whole story, which you can interweave with just about anybody.
Yeah, a number of famous musicians and actors.
Right. Yeah. But the acting in the movie itself, I don't know if any of you have seen it, but I saw it and I was like, damn, that was really, really good.
Well, I have no interest in Liberace either, but I love Matt Damon. I like, you know, Michael Douglas, and I love period pieces, you know, like chunks of history. I love HBO does a great job with those. I haven't got to see the one about Phil Spector yet that had Al Pacino, but I did see Al Pacino as Jack Kevorkian. You don't know Jack. Mm. I would say a number of those could be studio releases. So I'm really glad to hear they're releasing it in the UK that way. That's good so that it can be seen by, you know, even anybody who wants to go see it.
I tell you, Rob Lowe in this movie is fabulous. He plays one of the things is like Liberace wants his manser. I don't know what you want to call him. I guess his lover. I guess that's the term. I just don't like that word. But he gets him plastic surgery. Like he kind of turns him into a little mini Liberace. And Rob Lowe plays the plastic surgeon. And it is unbelievable.
I'll tell you what, Jerry, Maya, you guys, if you see this movie, now Chrissy just told you who Rob Lowe's character is, but if you watch that movie and you didn't, you know, see the credits, you wouldn't even come close to knowing that was Rob Lowe.
I love when that happens, when, you know, it's somebody and you're just like, I cannot believe that was, you know.
It's whatever. Like on Tropical Thunder. Where
yeah,
Tom,
I was just going to say Tom Cruise.
Tom Cruise, yeah, right. Exactly.
If you didn't know that was Tom Cruise with the credits, you wouldn't know, you know.
Yeah, you wouldn't know. Yeah, that's I love it when that happens, when the magic really, really works, you know, when you see that. And speaking of magic, you know, not just movie magic, but TV magic, there was something happened just recently. Do you guys remember Barbara Eden, I Dream of Jeannie?
Yes, you know what? Oh. Jeannie was my ex-wife, and I dream of Jeannie all the time. So,
So Barbara Eden did something that she has not done in a long time, and that was don her I Dream of Jeannie costume with the bared midriff, the flared pants, the braided gold hair, everything. She was at the Life Ball in Vienna, Austria. The Life Ball is a charity event to raise money for those suffering with HIV and AIDS, and Bill Clinton was there, and she came on stage dressed as Jeannie and even did her little signature, you know, head bob and just like on the TV
and
show.
The wink.
And President Clinton stepped out on stage, greeted her, had a huge smile on his face. I can't say I blame him because I saw the picture, and you know, even at 78, she still looks good in that costume.
Bless her for being able to wear it. My God,
no kidding,
be able to put that on.
How many 78-year-olds would be able to pull that off?
Not many.
It was a pretty big charity event. There were a lot of other celebrities.
So Bill
there.
Clinton is their new master.
He hopes so. Yeah. Yeah, I think I saw him backstage rubbing a bunch of different bottles, trying to figure out which one it was. But they weren't the only ones there. Elton John was there. Fergie from the Black Eyed Peas was there, showing off her growing baby bump. She's having a kid with Josh Duhamel. It was all told, it was a very good evening. Barbara Eden tweeted, giving major face and a little bit of shade with my crew before the first ever voguing ball at the Life Ball. So she was having a good time. Looked like everybody had a ball at the Life Ball, especially Bill Clinton.
I've seen
the screenshots at his. I mean, I haven't seen him smile like that in years.
Well, you know what? I mean, it's like, you know, he's 66, she's 78. So when she was on TV, you know, he was a boy. And believe me,
he was dreaming of Jeannie. Yeah. I guarantee it.
Yeah, you know, how fun is that going to be, you know, to be 78 and still be doing things like that? You know, yeah. If you can see, I encourage all of our listeners to look it up. You know, she looks like a 40-year-old woman.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. It's amazing when you look at some of these actresses, especially, it's like, oh, 50 years old, and then, you know, like, you know, they look like 30. You know, they really do a good job of taking care of themselves.
And it's not just plastic surgery.
Lifestyle.
It is lifestyle, and it's all down to good, clean living, which all starts, you know, somewhere. And for Jack White, it started somewhere, too. How about that, Si?
Yeah, for Jack White, it started in Detroit. His hometown. And recently he donated $142,000 in order to save the world's largest Masonic temple from foreclosure because of its outstanding tax bill. The 91-year-old complex, the same age as Christopher Lee,
there you go.
issued a news release explaining that the White Stripes founder had a personal connection to the building. White's mother evidently held a job as an usher at the Detroit Masonic Temple when he was growing up. The two share a profound love for the Gothic structure, and the Grammy-winning musician has given numerous performances there over the years. The temple's 1,600-seat cathedral will be renamed the Jack White Theater, and as far as we know, he might be getting season passes to all future Detroit Derby Girl games.
All right. Yeah. How about that? Roller Derby, man. You got to love it. Christy, what's your take on roller derby?
I have never seen it, but I am all for it. I love roller skating, so I'm in. Fighting is a little scary. But
yeah, I went to my first game. I got to watch it last week, and I love the women are dressed up in all sorts of crazy things, and they really are very assertive, aggressive.
I like assertive better. Not aggressive. They really assert their position that I want to put my fist in your face. Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to assert that.
That's aggression. Okay. I just...
And things could get a little heated on the roller derby. You know, they used to make movies, the Kansas City Bombers, and that was a movie they made, and the Thunderbirds. I thought Chrissy was on the Thunderbirds, but apparently she's not.
One of my favorite Jim Croce songs. I fell in love with a roller derby queen.
Well, who hasn't?
Gosh.
Yeah, who hasn't?
Yes.
I loved roller skating. I mean, I was a big roller skater. Every Friday night, we were at the roller rink.
Yeah, when we were kids. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That my first ever date was at a roller skating rink.
Yeah.
Aww. We held hands. We backwards skated. It was.
You know what?
Did you do the couple skate and held hands as you went around?
Yeah, we did.
You're killing me, Renfro. You know what? The thing I liked about the Jack White story is that, you know, Jack White donated that money anonymously.
Wow!
But then how do we know it? Here's what happened. We got cut out of the story, but what happened was the temple got saved, and it came through an anonymous donation. They looked it up, and it came from the Third Man Productions, which is Jack White's company.
So they figured it out,
and then they contacted him, and he's like, "Yeah, I did that."
So he wasn't looking for press.
Looking for press or nothing. He just grew up there. His mom worked there. His record company took care of the deal, so they decided to rename the theater after him.
Wow.
What a good guy.
Isn't that kind of cool?
It is.
Yeah, lovely.
And now they're going to have roller derby games there. Sometimes you just want to know some things, and you just can't figure them out. Like, and where do you go, Maya?
I don't know, but I know who knows.
Well, when you want to know, you come to Jerry Renfro, and now you know. This may come as a surprise to some of you, maybe not, but Carlos Estevez, Charlie Sheen, isn't the first person in Hollywood or the music world to decide that the name their parents gave them wasn't going to work for their career. There's a number of reasons why celebrities would change their name, from a conversion of religion, Muhammad Ali used to be Cassius Clay, or fear of stigmatization because their name sounded too whatever, or maybe their name's just too long to fit on a building marquee. So it would totally make sense when magician David Kotkin decided that he'd probably sound a lot better as David Copperfield, and Nicholas Coppola, wanting to avoid seeing nepotism in Hollywood, decided to pay tribute to his favorite comic book character and instead became Nick Cage. Mm. So there's a number of celebrities, a lot more than you would imagine. I mean, hundreds, if not thousands, of a lot of famous people that we know that is not the name their parents gave them at their birth. Here's a little trivia for you. Anybody know the Calvin Brodus, who Calvin Brodus is?
Snoop Dogg.
Snoop Dogg, that's right. And generally we find out with the rappers, it's usually when they go on trial, we find out what their real name is. And God knows Snoop is no stranger to the inside of the courtroom.
You know what? That is so funny. You would say that, Jerry, because that's how I knew his real name was.
That's me too. That's how I knew too.
When he went on trial in Long Beach, they used his real name.
Yep, Calvin Broder's name. Exactly. And now, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
Alcindor.
Right, but it's not just that. His actual name is Ferdinand Lewis Alcindor Jr.
Oh, I did not
so
know
even
that.
Lou Alcindor was a changing. took his middle name. So I kind of broke this down into a couple of categories. So for musicians, I think that musicians you want to be cool. Sting. I mean, that's cool, right? That sounds cool. So here's a few musicians that changed their name. So Bob Dylan. We all know Bob Dylan. He's a great guy. Probably it flows a lot better than Robert Zimmerman. Mm-hmm. I mean, can you imagine Robert Zimmerman? Just doesn't have the same thing.
Welcome to the stage, Robert Zimmerman.
Welcome, Robert Zimmerman. Exactly. John Denver. It's a very catchy name, right? John Denver. Yeah, well, it's a lot easier to fit his name than on the marquee than trying to put Henry John Deutschendorf.
Oh.
Oh, yeah. That would be different.
Alice Cooper, that guy is the bad boy of rock and roll. Alice Cooper sounds way better than Vincent Damon Fernier.
It does.
Yeah. I mean, that doesn't scare me at all. Okay, a lot of famous comedians have changed their name. George Burns, say goodnight, Gracie, that guy, mm-hmm. was actually born Nathan Brinbaum.
Did not know that.
George Burns, much, much easier to say. Woody Allen, again, another very famous name.
That's not his real name?
Not even close. No, his last name, as he is now, Woody Allen, is actually his real first name. His real name is Alan Stewart Konigsberg. And there's a lot. I was looking down the list. I mean, I just picked a few that I liked. Some I already knew and some I didn't. Lou Alcindor, Muhammad Ali was Cassius Clay. So, yeah, there's a lot of famous people. So, I don't know. I'm thinking I might have to change my name.
Well, Jerry Renfro is pretty memorable. What's your real name?
Jeremiah.
Oh. So,
Jerry's just a shortening of it, yeah.
Jeremiah, so I should have figured that out, you mountain man, you.
Right, so I think maybe I'd like to change my name. I'll change my name to something like Avalox, Lord of Destruction or something. Just something very memorable.
That fits you so well.
That doesn't fit me at all, no. I'll stick with Jerry Renfro, and now you know.
And that's your art and entertainment news. Keep listening for Downpour's special feature.
Country music singer Josie Milner talks about her new music and Angels and Doves, a nonprofit anti-bullying organization, in this interview with the president of Just Imagine It, Inc., Charlie Stanton.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to another exciting edition of Get Behind Me, Now Stay There. Today, we're privileged to have on Josie Milner. Hi, Josie. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Pretty good. Are you in Missouri?
I am.
Well, we are in Ashland, Oregon, the Pacific Northwest, so we are just like all over this USA.
Hey, it's cool.
Yeah. Well, let's bring our listening audience up to speed here. Now, you're a country music recording artist, and you just got out of school, which might sound a little strange to people, but you're fairly young, are you not?
I am. I am 17, and I'll be turning 18 in August.
Holy Toledo. So are you going to start writing your autobiography then when you're 18?
I might have to. I might start there.
It's a funny line. Tim Tebow, who was like 22, 23 years old, he was on the Jon Stewart show, and he had a book out, a memoir. And Jon Stewart asked him, how old are you? And he said, I just turned 23. And he goes, and so you put this book out, your memoir, right? And he goes, right. Because I'm just curious, because most people wait till they're like 24 or 25 before.
Oh my gosh, that's funny. That's a good one. I like it.
Yeah. He was just like, poking fun at him, telling him like, his explanation was, well, it's basically what's happened to me in this first 22 years, because it's been so wild, such a wild ride. And I imagine that you have similar experiences.
Yeah, it's been pretty crazy. You know, I started my music when I was 14, almost 15. And ever since there, oh my gosh, all the stories I've been able to tell and all the experiences I've had and just everything I've had to face so far. It's not what an average 17-year-old goes through. It's definitely not.
Well, tell us a little bit about it. Is it the recording process? Is that like you know, something that you really weren't experiencing, or is it the playing the clubs, or what's the story?
Well, you know, I got into music. I've actually been singing pretty much all my life, and I did rodeo for 8 years before I got into my music, and I would sing the national anthem at my rodeos any chance I could. And it was about 2.5 years ago I had the chance of singing at the National Steel Guitar Convention in St. Louis, and I was pretty excited for that because it's kind of the first big thing I was able to do. And once I was done, I was having people of such high expectations and standards coming up to me and talking to me about the talent I had for being so young. And Leona Williams, who was, of course, she's a female country singer as well as a steel guitar player, and she's well known in the music industry.
Right.
And she's actually the one who told me I need to think about it seriously because I had great potential, and she thought I could make it really far in the career. And so, you know, I got home, I talked to my parents about it, and so for her to tell me something like that, I definitely knew I had to pay attention to it because you don't hear that every day. And so, you know, I held auditions and I got a band together and started going to the studio and started recording and, you know, started playing out with my bands. And, you know, I loved it. I never wanted to turn back from there. So it's just kept building up from there.
Well, I've seen you on a couple of TV spots and you look pretty dang comfortable, like you were born to do this.
I feel like I am. It's kind of a thing where my mom doesn't even know how I'm her daughter. My parents grew up doing sports, and they don't understand how I'm able to get on stage in front of hundreds of people and just act like they're all family and friends I've talked to for years. But I absolutely love it, and I get such a thrill on stage. And to know that people are there to watch me and so I can entertain them, it's just such an amazing experience all in itself, and I wouldn't want to trade it for anything else.
Well, it sounds like you're having the time of your life, you know. Let's talk about that song, Not Pretty Enough. That's your new song, so let's talk about that.
Yes, Not Pretty Enough is a song that my manager, Michael, found. He thought it'd be a really good one for me to do, and so he sent it over to me. And whenever I listen to songs, the first thing I pretty much notice are the lyrics. And so that's what grabbed my attention as soon as I heard the song, was the lyrics behind the song. And so I was like, oh yeah, it'd be such a good song to do. And so, you know, I went to the studio, and I got to work with some phenomenal people in the studio. They've worked with people such as Hall & Oates and Elton John. And so, you know,
wow.
I had some pretty big shoes to fill when I went in there. But, you know, I worked with them, and they were so great to be around. The atmosphere was so fun, and they're so lively and so professional. And, you know, once they got the finished product out, it was unbelievable what they did with that song. And it pretty much just blew me away at how it sounded, and, you know, how it was so good. And, you know, once it got released, people pretty much grabbed a hold of it as soon as they heard it as well. And I think they really enjoyed the meaning behind it as well as what it tied into.
Well, we've got to hear some of it right now.
Am I not pretty enough? Is my heart too broken? Do I cry too much? Am I too outspoken?
And you know what? I really like that song. You know, I mean, of course, the title was, you know, it's catchy. You're like, oh, I got to hear this. What is this? And it's such a beautiful song.
Thank you.
So you've done some covers, but you also write your own music, correct?
I'm in the process of writing songs, yes. I haven't wrote a complete song yet, considering I'm still new to it. I'm still finding it kind of challenging. But I am working on it.
Well, I would suggest a title for you. If you want to write a song called Get Behind Me Not Stay There, we would just love it.
I might see what I can do. I might try it.
I mean, that just might be a kick-ass country song, man.
It might. It might be. It might be a number one hit. You never know.
I can see it has potential. It does have potential.
I see the potential in it, yes.
Actually, the theme song for our podcast and radio show was written by Bill Baird in Austin, Texas.
Nice. I've been to Texas. I went in Dallas Texas is so beautiful. We love the roads down there. The roads are crazy, crazy wonderful. They're so nice. But I loved Texas.
So where are you going from here? I mean, I know that you're going to be doing that, going to Nashville, correct?
Yes, I will be in Nashville next week. We're hoping to head down there probably around Wednesday, maybe Thursday early, or early Thursday. And but yeah, I'll be down there performing at BB King's on Friday, June 7th, between 6 and 7 o'clock. And I'm so excited for that because I love Nashville as is, and so to be down there doing CMA week and for probably one of the busiest times on there, and to be able to showcase down there all in the same week, I'm definitely very excited for it.
Yeah, you know, that sounds like it's going to be like quite the event too.
Yeah, there's going to be several people there, and I heard that Gretchen Wilson's going to have like a little fan party there, so I might be able to get pictures taken with her. And I've also heard that whenever you're walking down just pretty much Broadway or right down the main streets, you'll see just country singers walking along like nothing's going on. So I'm kind of excited to see if I'll be able to meet anyone.
You know, I'm sure you will. It's kind of like walking in LA. I mean, you know, if you're there where the people are, that's where that's where you'll see them. I mean, when you go to Nashville, and I've been to Nashville, it's not just country music stars that you run into. I mean, there's singers from all walks of life there.
Yeah. Nashville's such a great town. And you know, all the people down there, I've been there three or four times. I can't remember exactly, but I've been there a couple times, and I've loved every trip, even more every time I go there. And the people there are great, and you never know who you're going to run into down there. So.
Yeah, well, hey, you know, have some fun there. Now, the Josie Milner Band, tell us about your band.
My band, oh my gosh, I love the guys that I play with. We get a joke around all the time, and I tease them because they're older than me, of course, and so I get a tease around and say they work for a 17-year-old, and it's pretty funny to joke around about that, but I consider them like my second family, and, you know, when we play out, everyone's so comfortable together, and it's such a great experience to have them up on stage with me, and they're so supportive, and, you know, I love them. Like I said, they're my family.
that is just wonderful. Now, with your videos you make, you've got some really nice videos. Is that you riding on the horses? And
Yeah. Like I said, I did rodeo for 8 years. Forgot my music.
Right.
And I did rodeo pageants as well as rodeo events in the arena. And I did barrel racing, pole bending, goat tying, and breakaway roping. So I did pretty much everything I could have whenever I was doing rodeo. And, of course, I did my rodeo pageants. And I claimed 2 state titles. I was Junior Miss Rodeo Missouri and Little Miss Rodeo Missouri, as well as Princess titles 2 times for the association I did, and a couple local princess titles that I held as well. So yeah, I thought that's where I was going to go there for a while, was with my horses and with rodeo, but all of a sudden things switched up on me.
and so the music is that's your passion now, of course. And where do you see yourself in 5 years, Jesse?
Where I see myself is hopefully I'll be able to perform on the big stage with the sold out crowds that everyone dreams of, and have the spotlight right there, and to be able to look out and see all the fans there to support me. And you know, I want to take this as far as I can with it, and as far as I can, and try to gain so much respect and so many fans. And you know, I just want to do something that to be remembered for, and I think what I'm doing right now, I'm definitely on the right path for.
Well, right, and then, you know, in 5 years, it'll be 22, so you have to start thinking about writing that memoir.
there you go.
So when you were on the rodeo circuit, did you ever ride rodeo anywhere outside of Missouri, like Cheyenne in Wyoming for the Frontier Days?
No, I wasn't ever able to do that. I did youth rodeos, which pretty much stayed between Missouri and Kansas. But I did go to Oklahoma one time for a rodeo, and then I believe, was it Nebraska, I think, is the other one I went to? I don't remember which one. It was so long ago. But yeah, with the youth rodeos, they don't travel too far out of state.
Oh, okay. So the Nashville show coming up, and let's tell people where they can find you. Now, I know that you have quite a huge Facebook page, and then there's josiemilner.com, correct?
Yes. That's probably the easiest thing for people to do is go to josiemilner.com, and it's JOSEYMILNER. And on my website, you can see pictures, and you can listen to music and see where I'm going to be at next. And also, at the bottom of the page, I have the links to all my social media, my Facebook, my Twitter, my YouTube, and pretty much everything. I love keeping contact with fans, and I love being able to, you know, talk to them, let them know that I'm a real person. So anything I can do to keep in contact with them, I'm definitely up for. And as well as I'm on iTunes, and I have a couple songs on there. And right now I'm doing a thing to where I sell a CD for $5, and for every CD I sell, I donate $1 of the proceeds to Angels and Doves, which is the national bowling organization that I'm associated with. And with them, once school starts back up, I will be going around and talking to schools about bullying, raising awareness for it. And they hand out bullying books to teachers and staff and faculty and kind of explain them what to do in case they've witnessed bullying. And they also have a hotline people can call if they want to talk to someone. And they are nonprofit, so they're doing it out of the kindness of their hearts. And they want to make a difference. And so for me to be able to join in with them and for me to be able to take a stand against something that I feel so strongly towards, I'm pretty excited for it. So I'm definitely very excited for when school starts back up.
Yeah, you know, that's very admirable of you. And do they have a website where people can go and donate?
They do. It's angelsanddoves.com. And I also do have their link on my website as well, too. So it's good. Either way, it's easy to find.
Okay. So have a great summer.
Alrighty, thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye.
To learn more about Josie Milner, visit us on our website at justimagineinc.com.
Comes a time when you're drifting. Comes a time when you settle down. Comes a light, feelings lifting. Lift that baby right up off the ground.
Amy Rose throws a redneck party in this interview with the president of Just Imagine It, Inc., Charlie Stanton.
Love that guy. Welcome, everybody, to another exciting interview on Get Behind Me Now, Stay There. Today we have Amy Rose, the country music sensation from Canada. Wild Amy Rose on the line. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Yeah, it's such a pleasure to be speaking with you.
Well, likewise.
So tell me, how is it going up there? You're in Canada right now, right?
I am. Barrie, Ontario, Canada, to be exact.
Oh, I see. And you'll be coming down to the States here soon?
Yeah, we're heading to Nashville next Thursday night. We're performing at CMA Fest on Friday, June the 7th at BB King's at 7 o'clock.
Nice. Well, you know, I got to ask you about this redneck party reunion, you know? Tell me a little bit about that song, because, you know, I love the song, you know, and I, you know, for all of our listeners out there, you know what, let's just listen to a little bit right now.
It's a train wreck, what a mess, all out, that's how we live. We're down on country bunkings, at it again. Down the road, we all go, on a barn, that's how we roll. If you want a good time, well, come on in. Yeah, it gets crazy, but we're here.
Yeah, that song is so infectious, Amy, and I gotta tell you, man, it's just like, you know, as infectious as the song is, that video that goes with it is just like, you couldn't have asked for a better scenario. I know you're very young, but it's almost like you were brought up in the MTV era, because it's just like, that video was perfect.
Yeah, the video was, I actually had a hand in co-writing the song, and that song is based on my redneck family. Yeah, I come from the biggest redneck clowns that you'll ever meet. Oh my God. So when we were talking to the director, and, you know, we were getting the concepts and he was doing the treatment, and I had said to him, I said, you know what, the one thing I really want to see come to life with this video is it's fully based on my redneck weird family. And, you know, I want them to be a part of this, because they were a part of the making of the song, and they were the reason why I co-wrote the song with my, you know, with my producers. And, you know, everybody that you see in that video, they are all family and friends, and they're a product of me. No, it's cool.
Yeah. So, for, you know, for all our listening audience out there, I want them to tell, you can see the video on Reverb Nation. You can see, of course, on YouTube. And the name of the video is Redneck Reunion by Amy Rose. And party like a redneck, as we heard in the song. It's just like, so let's tell me about it. You know, how do we party like a redneck? Because we're here from Ashland, Oregon, so we're about as far away from a redneck as you can get.
Well, you drink a whole lot of beer. Crazy Canuck beer, to be exact, right?
Okay.
You just let loose, have fun, and just, you know, just go for it. There's no limits.
There is no. Now, do I have to wear boots, or is that a prerequisite?
Boots, no shoes, no shirt, no problem. That's the deal.
Oh, okay.
It's one of those redneck parties.
Well, damn, I'm going to have to give me a plane ticket to Ontario.
Well, you're on the VIP list, babe.
Okay. I will hold you to it. You know, like there's a reggae singer that we interviewed a while back, and he said to me, we told him to come into the studios and record, which he did. And he said to me, he goes, you know what? I'm going to tell you the same thing I tell everybody. Don't invite me somewhere because I'll show up.
Exactly. Yeah. The same way, too. You don't want to invite me anywhere because I'm going to be there and your life is never going to be the same.
Well, it sounds like you're really looking forward to going to Nashville.
Yeah, super excited. I love Nashville.
You see, Amy Rose, you see the effect you have on men? I can't even talk straight.
Well, it happens, huh? You're getting me all flustered too, may I add. I'm like just sweating up a heat here thinking, oh my God, this guy sounds so dreamy over the phone. Nashville, okay, back on track. Nashville. I am super psyched about Nashville. Honestly, I love Nashville. It's definitely the happening place. Nash Vegas, we call it, right? That's where everybody that is anybody or that, you know, wants to be anybody in the music industry definitely goes down there, right? So, you know, and I love Nashville. I just love going there and just seeing other entertainers as well because, you know, obviously I'm not the only one trying to make it in the business. And you think about it, when you go down there, everybody in that town is trying to, you know, go for the same goal and the same dream that you are. So it's just, I love seeing other entertainers as well as, you know, I just love going and meeting them.
Well, no, you're right, because everyone does have the same goal. You know, like when I go, you know, my goal is to meet Amy Rose. So, you know, there's quite a few people there.
Oh, can we just make out now?
Well, I think it's about high time.
I feel like we just had a moment there. Let's just go with it.
Let's go. I am going to buy some boots, man.
Remember, no shoes, no shirt, no problem. You don't need boots.
Oh, no, I need boots.
Oh, gosh.
So, Party Like a Redneck is the name of the CD, correct?
No, actually, the name is going to be a surprise. And by surprise, I mean we really haven't come up with the name yet. The album is, we're crossing our fingers that we have a release date of obviously the fall 2013, and we're working really hard to get to that goal, you know, to get this album out there. We've released two songs internationally off of this upcoming album, and my third single coming to Canada in July called Sunshine is going to be released soon off of that album as well. So we're crossing our fingers we can get it out there for fans because there's been a lot of inquiries about it.
Well, you know, we can't wait, man. I would be very happy to see if you guys named your new CD. If you named it after our radio show, that would just, you know, that would be, I think, you know, the proper thing to do. I mean, what would be a better album title, Amy, than Get Behind Me, Not Stay There?
Yeah, why? Absolutely. That is, you're totally right. I don't even know why I didn't think of that.
I don't know why, girl. I'm telling you, you know.
You're a mastermind in disguise.
Well, I have been known to work my magic.
Oh, gosh. Is this one of those after-hours shows?
Well, it's after-hours here. I don't know if it's after-hours there. This is one of those lively art and entertainment shows that people just love to listen to. We have quite a following. We have over 80,000 people a week download this show. So this is your opportunity to talk to the world.
Oh, well, hello, world.
Now, where can people find links to your songs? I know you're on Reverb Nation, and I'm assuming you're on Facebook. Do you have a website as well?
I do. My website is www.amyrosemusic.com. And on there you'll find all of my links to my MySpace, my Twitter, my Reverb Nation, my Facebook. Everything that you want to know about me or don't want to know about me is right there on that page. It's pretty pretty personal, up front, close.
Very nice. Very nice. And what's next for Amy Rose?
Getting all the promotional stuff done. Obviously for the new single, for the new U.S. single, Party Like a Redneck. Tons of radio interviews, a lot of traveling, a whole lot of just interaction and just, you know, getting this song out there. So, it's not like one of those things where we just sit back and relax and let it take its course. We obviously it's a lot of work and we're just hoping that people love it.
Well, I love it. And then, you know, everyone I have talked to just loves the song. It's very, very infectious and we've all heard it. You know, it's just great. And of course, we've talked about the video. Now, you know, where do you get your inspiration for all this? And I know, you know, this particular song, you know, is from your family, but you have, you know, a lot of other music. So where do you draw your interest from?
So I just want you to know, a lot of people don't know this, or they do now, but they didn't at the time. But I just want you to know is actually a Backstreet Boys song that was put on one of their albums as a filler. I don't even think it was released. And a good friend of mine who is a huge BSB fan had brought the song to me and said, you know, Amy, I really think that you should do a country version of this. And at the time, I was kind of on my hiatus and I wasn't really looking at, you know, any type of music. I didn't even know my producers then, right? Right. So I put it on the back burner and I had, you know, I love the song. It was such a great song. And the Backstreet Boys did an amazing job at it. So, you know, when it was time to actually start focusing back on my music and I had met my producers, I'd pulled out the song and I had brought it to them and I said, hey, what do you guys think of this? And they loved it just as much as I did. And they said, let's go to Nashville, let's cut a version of it. And we did, and I wouldn't have even guessed in a million years that it would, you know, go this far. And, you know, the comments that people are making on YouTube about it being, you know, a great cover, and it's just so overwhelming. I'm loving that the fans are loving it, and I'm just so thankful.
Well, you know what, we love it too, and let's hear some of it right now.
Said I could check you out somewhere. Where can I do that?
Oh, we're on justimagineitinc.com, and Inc is spelled I-N-K. We have a blog page on there.
Really? Are we friends on Facebook?
You and I? I don't know if we are
yeah.
or not.
Maybe we should make that happen.
We should.
We should. I think that we would be like the best of Facebook friends.
Yes.
Like one of a kind. Yes, let's do it. Completely add me. Like, get out your smartphone and type me in.
I will. I will definitely do that.
Look me up. Okay, I'm back to reality now.
I just added you.
Oh my gosh, you did. Oh.
All right, we've been talking with Amy Rose from Ontario, Canada, the country music sensation who will be going to Nashville to perform down there. Be sure to go onto YouTube. I highly recommend you go on YouTube and watch that video, A Redneck Reunion. It's a great song, and you'll learn how to party and be a part of Amy's posse there. And it's been so great speaking with you, Amy. Thank you.
It's been so awesome speaking to you. Thank you so much for having me on the show. I had a blast. You're amazing.
All right. Thank you.
To learn more about Amy Rose, visit us on our website at justimagineitinc.com.
Pirate Latitudes, a New York Times bestseller, a USA Today bestseller,
a Publisher's Weekly bestseller, a Washington Post bestseller, a Wall Street Journal bestseller. With all the suspense that readers have come to expect from one of the best-loved authors of all time, Pirate Latitudes is an irresistible adventure of swashbuckling pirates in the New World, a classic story of treasure and betrayal.
Dressed in lighter clothing, Governor Almond breakfasted alone in the dining hall of the mansion. As was his custom, he ate a light meal of poached fish and a little wine, followed by another of the minor pleasures of his posting, a cup of rich dark coffee. During his tenure as governor, he had become increasingly fond of coffee, and he delighted in the fact that he had virtually unlimited quantities of this delicacy, so scarce at home. While he was finishing his coffee, his aide, John Cruikshank, entered. John was a Puritan, forced to leave Cambridge in some haste when Charles II was restored to the throne. He was a sallow-faced, serious, tedious man, but dutiful enough. "The convict women are here, Your Excellency." Almont grimaced at the thought. He wiped his lips. "Send them along. Are they clean, John?" "Reasonably clean, sir." "Then send them along." The women entered the dining room noisily. They chattered and stared and pointed to this article and that. An unruly lot, dressed in identical gray fustian and barefooted. His aide lined them along one wall, and Almont pushed away from the table. The women fell silent as he walked past them. In fact, the only sound in the room was the scraping of the governor's painful left foot over the floor as he walked down the line, looking at each. They were as ugly, tangled, and scurrilous a collection as he'd ever seen. He paused before one woman, who was taller than he, a nasty creature with a pocked face and missing teeth. "What's your name?"
"Charlotte Bixby, my lord."
She attempted a clumsy sort of curtsy. "And your crime?"
"Faith, my lord, I did no crime. It was all a falsehood that they put to me and—"
"Murder of her husband, John Bixby," his aide intoned, reading from a list. The woman fell silent. Almont moved on. Each new face was uglier than the last. He stopped at a woman with tangled black hair and a yellow scar running down the side of her neck. Her expression was sullen. "Your name?"
"Laura Peel."
"What is your crime?"
"They said I stole a gentleman's purse."
"Unabashed fun," says the New York Times. "The plot sucks you in like the giant kraken monster that nearly sinks our hero's galleon," says Entertainment Weekly. Michael Crichton was a writer and filmmaker, best known as the author of Jurassic Park and the creator of ER. He graduated summa cum laude from Harvard College, received his MD from Harvard Medical School, and was a postdoctoral fellow at the Salk Institute for Biological Studies. For more information about top-selling titles from this award-winning company, go to downpour.com.
Back again, fish for my panties, all I get is John and Kim. Got called back while you were out, I'm not bothered, but so I am. It's plain to see, it's all laid out for me. Wanna make a feast of it all.
Get Behind Me Now, Stay There is a Just Imagine It Inc. presentation and was recorded in the Blackstone Audio Inc. studios in Ashland, Oregon. If you would like more information about this show, or if you or someone you know would like to be featured, please call 541-708-0525 or visit justimagineinc.com. I'm Sarah Simerson.
I'm Maya Seligman.
I'm Jerry Renfro.
I'm Chrissy McIntyre.
And I'm Charlie Stanton, and we like you, so be sure to like us on Facebook, and remember to get behind me.
Now stay there.
Scratch my name on the wall. I'm feeling fine. This is my time to shine. It's nearly, but it's not too late. The future